And welcome back, everybody. Glad you're with us this morning on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. The historian and scholar Carter G. Woodson said, "Those who have no record of what their forebears have accomplished lose the inspiration which comes from the teaching of biography and history." In 1926, Woodson advocated for a week every year to focus on Black history. Black History Month was established in 1976. Today is the last day of Black History Month 2014, and we wanted to find out, how has teaching about Black history changed in recent decades? What's being taught, what's not being taught, and how much do people of all races know and understand about the rich history and tradition of African Americans? We'll raise those questions with two local scholars who join me in the studio. Dr. Joanne Martin, along with her husband Dr. Elmer Martin, founded the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum in Baltimore in 1983. Dr. K. Wise Whitehead is an assistant professor of communication and African and African American Studies at Loyola University, Maryland, and the author of a new book called Sparking the Genius. And good morning to both of you, and you are good friends of the show, and it's great to have both of you back.
Thank you very much.
It's good to be here.
So, Dr. Martin, you established Great Blacks and Wax, the museum, back in 1983. Do you think that your approach to the teaching of Black history has evolved and changed in the last 30 years?
Yes, it has. When I look at just our reason for founding the museum and our dissatisfaction with the way history was not taught, when I look at the fact that we had kids who came into the museum in September, say, and when we started to talk to them, they said, "Oh, well, we're going to learn that in February. So don't tell me
just
that."
Just this past September.
When we opened in 1988 on North Avenue. Mm-hmm. But the reaction is still the same. We're going to learn that in Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And so that hasn't changed enough for me. And what we find is that people who will not come to the museum on January 31st, I mean, they've got to save it for February. And I realize that many of them want to make sure that they have some activities planned. They have to deal with school budgets and so forth. So I know that that factors in, but there is a resistance where everyone wants to come the last Saturday. That's of February. That's our busiest day of the entire year. Hmm. Even though July is our busiest month, the last Saturday in February is our busiest day of the year. And people will make up things if they can't get in. They'll show up and say, "Someone scheduled me." So it's this rush to.
But there is that definite impulse to sort of segregate, as it were, the study of Black history to the month of February.
Exactly, and it is that segregation that is most troubling for me, because when I look at a George Washington Carver, for example. They will learn, I get told, I don't know how many times, that he invented peanuts, but they will learn little lists of information in the month of February tied to nothing pertaining to the economy or to American history, so that kids don't really learn the full significance of a George Washington Carver. They don't learn how he saved a bankrupt South, how he taught crop rotation, how he is very much relevant today with looking at alternative energy sources. Sure. They get none of that. And so it is, again, that isolation that troubles me most.
And Kay, your latest book is called Sparking the Genius, and that's a quote from Carter G. Woodson from a book that he wrote called The Miseducation of the Negro. You were invited to give the Carter G. Woodson lecture by the organization that he founded, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. How do we spark the genius of young people today, if not in February, then throughout the year?
I have gone back and forth on this issue. I get so excited when I think about young people learning African American history. You and I have spoken more than once about this internal battle I have about whether or not we should even have Black History Month, or should we find ways to get back into the curriculum and do this African American history. We call it the 365 movement. So every year I change. But I found in going around and speaking around the country that there's still places in our country that if we didn't have Black History Month, Black history wouldn't be taught at all.
At all, right. So this is a better solution
having it all. Right. And absolutely. The hope with Carter G. Woodson, I mean, he started off as Negro History Week, and then, of course, became Negro History Month, then Black History Month, that it was something temporary, that eventually would get back into the curriculum. That temporary state, of course, has taken all of this time. So the goal is to get to 365. My book, Sparking the Genius, which is based upon that lecture, is really an open love letter to my sons. How do I spark their genius? How do I get them to see themselves beyond where they are now? How do I get young boys like them to consciously choose the pencil over the penitentiary, to choose to be an active participant in your own learning process, to make a decision that today you're going to be more than what you were yesterday, not as much as you're going to be tomorrow. So that's that idea of sparking the genius.
And what are your answers to that question? How do you do that?
Well, one of the things I often think about with my own sons is that I have them close their eyes and I have them imagine where they want to be, have them imagine who they want to be. There's this wonderful story when my sons met Dr. Freeman Hrabowski, the president of UMBC, and he often said that when he woke up in the morning, he would say to the mirror at 9 years old, "Good morning, Dr. Hrabowski. Good morning, Dr. Hrabowski." And it so impressed my sons when they were 4 and 5. They woke up the next morning going, "Good morning, Dr. Whitehead. Good morning, Dr. Whitehead." I'm like, hold on to that. Because if you can dream about it, then you can then move towards getting a plan and then look towards achieving it. Because dreams never do anything unless you have a plan. You get a plan, you have a goal, and you make steps towards success. So sparking the genius is helping them to imagine themselves being more than what they are now. We can spark genius in young boys. We can turn them into doctors. We can turn young girls into scientists if we believe we can and if we're committed to doing that.
Dr. Kay Wise Whitehead from Loyola University, Maryland. She's in the studio along with Dr. Joanne Martin, the founder and director of the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Dr. Martin, the study of Black history extends much past children and certainly much past African-American children. I'm interested in the fact that when we have these terrible events that have happened in this year, the killing of Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis, when that happens by a non-Black person, all of a sudden it spurs this, you know, so-called conversation about race. Yet when, for example, on Monday morning right here in Baltimore, in South Baltimore, a bus driver for the MTA named Craig Ray Jr. Had complained about loud music in the house next door to him. He had to get up to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And a day or so later, somebody came and shot him to death. Now, they haven't caught the killers, but it is presumed that the people who committed that crime are African-American, right, person or people. Right? When that happens, it's a Black issue, mm-hmm, you know? And when Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis happened, it's, you know, a race issue. How do we address that in terms of teaching both history and looking forward?
And I think it's crucial when I look at some of the comments made by juror number 8, for example, who said that she didn't see it as a race issue. And
this is in the Trayvon Martin case, the Jordan Davis case. Michael Dunn was convicted of a lesser charge.
Yes. And it is this whole thing that when it's white on Black crime, there's another way of looking at it. For that juror to not understand that she's looking at the proceedings, and certainly there were probably no reversible moments through the proceedings, but to not see that race was at the foundation of so much of this, that this man made a judgment about these kids solely based on seeing them as thugs and the number of things that he has called them. I think that I have said to a group of white kids when they asked why did they need to learn the history in the museum, or even to come to our museum. And I have said to children that by learning the history of those people who make up the fabric of America, then it makes you a better parent. It makes you a better government official. It makes you a better policymaker, a lawmaker, a teacher. And
or neighbor,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so when we neglect to do that, when we don't understand and feel the need to appreciate all of our stories, all of the ways that we need to learn about each other, then those kinds of misunderstandings will definitely happen. And in the case of African Americans, I think it will go to another level altogether.
So, Kay Wise Whitehead, you put an op-ed in the Sun just last week about the Jordan Davis case, and it's people in both the Black and white communities who tend to classify these kinds of crimes as Black issues or, you know, generalized race issues, meaning that Black on Black crime is a Black issue and white on Black black crime or black and white crime is somehow a general race issue.
Which is very concerning, because I believe that the black on black crime and black on white crime, or even white on black crime, these are American issues. That when we start talking about violence in our communities, it affects all of our communities. What happened to that bus driver, to me, is just as concerning as what happened to Trayvon Martin. We have this tendency to want to make the Trayvon Martins out to be heroes, which is a concern to me, because there are black people dying all over the country every single day that we're not talking about. I want a national conversation about violence in general. What can we do to help young people of all different nationalities make better choices?
Dr. Martin, your museum starts way back at the beginning. It starts with the Middle Passage. It starts with a very just a terrifying depiction of a slave, the cargo hold of a ship in which slaves were shackled and brought over to the United States, and it goes all the way up to thug culture, hip hop culture. I was interested that there was an op-ed just yesterday in The Sun by a man named Johnny Slaughter, and he's an African American man, and he and a bunch of his friends get together at a cigar shop by Cross Street Market, and they watch Jeopardy, okay. And they are, you know, they shout out the answers and stuff like that. I mean, that just sounds like a lot of fun. And he noted that in a recent college competition for Jeopardy, a bunch of white 20-somethings chose African-American history as the last category, you know, when they had nothing else to choose, and that they were given incredible softball questions. One of them was this huge, easy setup about it's the 50th anniversary of I Have a Dream, and the answer is Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it is a matter of young people in general, in all races, really not grappling and grasping the importance of understanding this tradition.
And what really concerns me, and we've had at the museum, is that particularly when we get someone from France, and all they know about African Americans is hip hop, and or the image of the thug as depicted in the media, and they will come in and say, "We had no idea. We didn't know anything about very little about slavery. We certainly didn't know about lynching," and so. Just this whole idea that they are learning so much of the negative that leads to someone deciding, well, I have to stand my ground, or I can kill this person because I'm doing this in self-defense, just based on the perception. And so that we have got to find a way to fight against all of that as a way of assuring that, that we are, as people, are safe in this country.
I wish we had more time. I always wish we had more time every time you all are here. Thank you so much for your time, and we shall see you soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joanne Martin is the founder and director of the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum in Baltimore. K. Wise Whitehead is a professor of communications at Loyola University, Maryland. Her new book is called Sparking the Genius. It's published by Apprentice House Press. We've got more information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Thanks to Cassandra Morales for her help in producing this segment. That's it for us today. Monday on the show, a conversation with DJ and social commentator Jay Smooth about how to have conversations about race. That's Monday morning on Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.